Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 17. In verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Then it makes an interesting transition. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we have these two things. We have the person who is blessed because he trusts in the Lord. And essentially he's saying the Lord is his portion, and because the Lord is his portion, he will be like a tree planted by the waters. In other words, even when there is no rain, even when there's nothing, he still has a plenteous source. He doesn't get anxious, he doesn't fear, his leaf will be green. A leaf basically is what feeds the tree. He said there'll always be plenty of nourishment, there'll be a source, there'll be the word, there'll be fellowship, there'll be everything he needs. Leaves are also green. Green is the color of grace. There'll be grace to take care of him and will not be anxious. There'll be no cognitive distortions, no neuroses going on in the year of drought and difficult trials, and he will not stop yielding fruit. Why does that happen? This person is essentially the John 15:5 believer. That person is the one who keeps himself in the love of God, and the word of God he keeps in his own frame of reference. And at that point, when I keep myself in the love of God and the word of God is my frame of reference, I bear fruit. And so long as I keep myself in the love of God and the word of God is in my frame of reference, I will continue to bear fruit. That's what this is talking about. When that takes place, the automatic result in my thinking without any effort whatsoever is that I trust God. And then I enter into all the benefits of trusting God. The source of that was in my frame of reference. I kept myself in the love of God and kept the word of God in my heart, in my frame of reference. So I had a frame of reference that was the word of God, which produces faith energized by love. And because of that frame of reference, I bear fruit, and I don't stop bearing fruit even if trials come. That's a healthy frame of reference. But then he says the heart, and the heart is the frame of reference. So when the Bible speaks of the heart, very frequently it's talking about frame of reference. Some dictionaries say it's the seat of emotions and things like that. The soul is the seat of emotions. The heart is the frame of reference. The emotions are one of the five parts of the soul. When it deals with the heart here, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, deceitful has this weird connotation in English that is not necessarily intended in the original language. The word is ekob, and it's not deceitful in the sense of a sinister motive. In English, if you say, well, that's deceitful, there's a sinister motive that's assumed. This is deceitful out of inability toward truth. The heart that is not trusting God, and by law of contrast, this is what it's saying. The heart that is not trusting God is unable toward truth. The frame of reference doesn't have truth in it. So it's unable to respond to things that are of the truth. Remember in John 17:17, the word is truth. It's unable to respond toward the truth because the truth is not in the frame of reference. Plainly put, the heart will not be able to produce a faith response. So it's deceitful above all things. With a heart that is not able toward truth, it affects everything. And then it says that it's desperately wicked. Now, when we say desperately wicked, we think somehow morally corrupt or evil or something like that. That's also not what it means. The word there is anesh, and it means sick, incurable, weak, and frail. So the heart without truth is not able to respond to truth. It's not able to respond in faith responses because that heart is sick. It's ill. It's incurable. You can't resolve it. In other words, you can't fix that heart. You cannot fix that frame of reference. A frame of reference that does not possess the Word of God as its foundation cannot be cured. It's weak and it's frail. So it's extremely unreliable. That's why he then says, who can know it? How can you even deal with this? How can you rely on it in any way? How can you trust it? How do you get any kind of information from that kind of a frame of reference? How can you even assess a frame of reference like that? Because it's extremely unpredictable. It's extremely difficult to control, to deal with. And if you have a frame of reference like that, it's extremely damaging. Now, the frame of reference was not created to be this way. The frame of reference was created to be healthy. The frame of reference was created to respond to the Word of God. When God created human beings, the first thing He did was give them the Word of God. He gave them definition. He wanted them to have a correct frame of reference, particularly as regards to things that were dangerous, like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, He did give them definition for survival. He said, you can eat of any tree of the garden in Genesis 2:17, but you cannot eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was a definition that entered their frame of reference. Now, that was a very good warning because in Ezekiel 31:18, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was Satan's tree. Any other tree, that was the definition, you can eat. You can have as much as you like. You can enjoy it. Don't even worry about it. Have at it. But this one tree, Satan's tree, don't eat it. Don't think about eating it. It is a tree that will kill you. And God gave them clear definition, and that definition became their frame of reference. That's why Eve answered in Genesis 3, she added to the frame of reference with a desire. We're not going to get into that. We've gotten into that in the past. But she added to the frame of reference when she said to the devil, when he challenged her about eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she said, we will not eat thereof. And then she added, nor shall we touch it. God never said that, but that came out of a desire for her. Because in the day that we ate of it, we're going to die. And Satan said to her, in the original language, you won't die today. How many people go down that road? Consequence delayed, they think, is consequence removed. It's funny how we are. That's what he did with her. That's what she answered. He said, consequence delayed is consequence removed. You won't die today. Now, here's the thing about that. Her frame of reference got damaged. In Genesis 3:5, Satan said to Eve, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And then she did eat of it, In verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Why did they do that? Because their frame of reference got damaged. It was not a problem that they were naked. The Bible specifies they were naked from the day that they were created, and they were completely fine with it. There was no problem with it. God was fine with it. They were fine with it. It was a married couple. They did not have any problems with it. It was perfectly normal to them. Satan corrupted their frame of reference such that they could no longer recognize what was good and what was evil. And he did it by removing them from God's frame of reference, which is the Word of God. So they made these fig leaves. Why? They were trying to cover something they thought was evil. It wasn't evil, but they thought it was. Because their frame of reference toward the Word of God had been removed, and therefore, their frame of reference toward one another had become damaged. They no longer saw each other the way that God wanted them to, because the Word of God was no longer their frame of reference. Their frame of reference was damaged. Now, Satan does the same thing to us. He damages the frame of reference, the heart. He damages it through a bunch of stuff. Very common means of damaging the frame of reference is religious thinking. Satan damages our frame of reference toward grace by getting us to be religious in our mindset. By religious in our mindset, I'm not talking about Christian, and I'm not talking about oriented to the Word of God. I'm talking about relying on your own performance, relying on outward production, relying on anything of yourself and anything of your own effort for your place with God. My place with God does not come through any sort of performance. Your salvation does not come by good works. Your salvation does not come by being a good guy or a good gal. Your salvation does not come by trying hard. Your salvation in Ephesians 2:8 comes by grace through faith, not of yourself. If I have a religious frame of reference, then I'm never going to have God's government in my life. And everything is going to be a struggle for me. Because religion is about struggle. In Psalm 94:20, the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. And so I get into this place because of an application of religion where I become self-oriented in my efforts. It's always up to me. It's always about how well I'm doing. It's always about how good I can be. That's self-orientation. That's iniquity. Satan uses religious thinking to damage people's frame of reference. One of the hardest things there is for a pastor is to take somebody who was raised for years in heavy religion, with a heavy emphasis on either performance or law or some other religious aspect, and introduce them to pure grace. They can't handle it. They can't accept it. It's foreign to them. They don't trust it because it's not of themselves. And their frame of reference is damaged. Sin is another thing that damages the frame of reference. When a young person in particular, older people too, but this is a bigger problem among the young, goes out and, let's say, and fornicates, they damage their future relationships because they damage their frame of reference. Fornication is about self-gratification. And they teach themselves that their relationships, especially when it gets into marriage, is about self-gratification. It's one of the reasons why I teach don't date. Dating is about self-gratification. When it becomes about self-gratification, it's no longer an expression of the love of God. It's self-gratification. And this person comes into a relationship with that in their frame of reference, because it enters their subconscious mind, even if they've forsaken it, unless the blood of Christ can cleanse their conscience, this is going to be a part of their marriage. And if they had given their body to somebody with negative outcomes, then they're going to be negative toward their spouse. Because they're still trying to deal with a frame of reference that was brought on by a sinful relationship, but they try to deal with it through somebody who has nothing to do with that. And it damages their relationship, even in their marriage. Religious thinking can do the same thing. It can damage relationships because there's always expectations put on somebody, and those expectations are not of God, they're of a religious frame of reference, putting an expectation on somebody what religiously they determine that person ought to be, and if they are not, then they receive the disapproval. That disapproval, everybody who's received it knows, is very palpable. You know, regardless of what else may be said around you, that you are being disapproved of. And it's just a religious thought. It's the throne of iniquity working mischief by the law. But if that becomes your frame of reference, this can happen to kids who grow up in heavy religion. If that becomes your frame of reference, then your relationships are going to suffer. Because that frame of reference is what you enter into the relationship with. Just like sin. If sin and the things that sin produces, like that sense of self-gratification, or if the relationships go badly, anger, the person enters into their relationship, let's say with their spouse or with their children or with whoever, and they bring this into that relationship. And the relationship is damaged. Why? The frame of reference is damaged. Criticism. Criticism damages a frame of reference. Especially if the criticism comes when somebody's young. You get a parent criticizing a little kid, or a teacher who criticizes a kid, somebody the person looks up to and relies on definition, and that person is critical toward them, they're going to damage that child's frame of reference, and is going to go into their adulthood, and they are going to end up with extreme insecurities. Because their frame of reference has been damaged. A lack of grace will damage the frame of reference. That person will always feel like they cannot simply receive the love of God or the other person's love. Something always has to be earned. A lack of love is another one. A lack of love will bring anger and a hardness of heart because the frame of reference is damaged. Condemnation will damage the frame of reference to where the person can't receive mercy or give mercy. Criticism is about a lack of mercy also. It's a type of condemnation. These damage the frame of reference. When the damage has been done, then the frame of reference is very unreliable. It's deceitful. It's not going to trust God because it can't. It doesn't have the capacity. So this damaged frame of reference, you don't even know why you're thinking or doing the things you're thinking and doing. You ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I like this? I've met a lot of people over the years, and I'm sure most of us have, who have something in their life and it's just not right, and they cannot figure out why this is going on, why they are like this. It's their frame of reference has been damaged. That's why. In a damaged frame of reference, you have damaged outcomes. And that damaged outcome becomes very difficult for that person to deal with because it's incurable. Once the damage is done, it's done. And you can't change it. Now, that is not to say that we're hopeless. But that's to say, you can't simply change the frame of reference at that point. In Psalm 73:21, thus my heart was grieved. And the idea is grieved and embittered. And I was pierced in my reins, which is my emotion. The person with a damaged heart, a damaged frame of reference, will not experience joy. They know they should, but they can't. They do everything they believe they should do, but they can't experience joy. They go to church, they go through the motions, they get around the body, but they can't experience joy. And they can't figure out why this is the case. They recognize that there's nothing wrong in their life, no reason for them to not have joy. But they don't have joy. They do the things they believe will bring them to joy, but the joy doesn't come. Why? Damaged frame of reference. That's why. And because they have no joy, in Nehemiah 8:10, they have no strength. Situations for a person like that are very overwhelming. You get difficulty with the kids, with the boss, you get difficulty with other people, you get difficulty in your family, and you're overwhelmed, and you can't deal with it, and you don't even know why. That's because you don't know your own frame of reference when it's damaged. That's why. So you can't even recognize the damage. You may recognize that somebody did something to you when you were, 10 years old, or they were unkind or critical or what have you, but you don't make the connection because the frame of reference will not respond to truth, which would shine light on the problem. In Jeremiah 30, verse 10, thus says the Lord, your hurt, because a damaged frame of reference is often painful, is incurable, and your wound is grievous. Grievous is kalal, it's a nifal participle. The nifal is simply a passive tense. And it means your wound will make you tired. Your wound will make you sick. You will have no energy and you won't know why. You'll be otherwise healthy, but you're drained and you won't know why. This can be a damaged frame of reference. Now, it can be other things also. You could simply have an illness you don't know about. But it can be a damaged frame of reference. In Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. The word heal is rapha, and it means healing, forgiveness, and restoration. The word incorporates all three meanings. So it's not just heal me like you heal somebody of an illness. It means heal, forgive, and restore me. That's what he's saying there. Heal, forgive, and restore me, and I will be healed, forgiven, and restored. Save me, and the word is yasha, and it's equivalent to the word in Greek, sozo. They have the same meaning. And it simply means to save or deliver. It can mean salvation of the soul, but it can mean also any form of deliverance. Deliver me, in this particular case, from a broken frame of reference. Healing, forgiveness, and restoration come in the frame of reference. So Jeremiah here in verse 14 of chapter 17 is dealing with the frame of reference, with the heart. He's saying, heal, forgive, and restore. I have condemnation, I have guilt. Why do I have guilt? Especially if I have forsaken my sins, especially if I have confessed them. Why do I still have guilt? Wrong frame of reference. Your frame of reference has been damaged. It's one of the problems of sin. It will damage your frame of reference also with things like guilt. That once the sin is forsaken, the guilt remains. That's a damaged frame of reference. We're disoriented to the blood of Christ. So he's saying basically, restore in fullness my frame of reference and it will be restored. God can restore a damaged frame of reference, but it can't be cured. So the solution is not curing it, it's something different. And Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Contrite is the word deka, and it means crushed. So the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. In other words, you're not puffed up, you're not proud. God has brought you to the end of yourself. Brokenness is vital if a believer is to manifest Christ. To manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they must be broken. Think of it this way. You have a sealed jar, you need to open it. In other words, you need to break it. If the jar is sealed, nothing can get in, nothing can get out. The love of God can't get in, the love of God can't get out. You have to be broken. So the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and crushed frame of reference. These, O Lord, you will not despise. Despise is beza, and it means to love something more than the things despised. By the law of contrast, we know that this means that God has no regard for a hard spirit or a stony heart. In order to heal the heart, that is to say, in order to heal the frame of reference, God breaks the heart. He'll break your frame of reference. It's already damaged. He'll crush it. He'll pulverize it into powder. When we rely on a damaged heart, we have a damaged life. We have damaged relationships. We can't even have joy. We have damaged self-image. The entire soul becomes damaged by a damaged frame of reference. So God has to break the damaged frame of reference in order to get rid of it. He breaks the heart, the frame of reference, but how does He do it? He doesn't break it in a violent way like we think of breaking. In Romans 5:3-5, God breaks the heart, the frame of reference, by bringing in situations which result in the love of God being present in the frame of reference. Now, those situations are often challenging. The most challenging situations often do the best job of imparting the love of God. Remember, in John 15:5, the love of God and the Word of God, those are vital to a right frame of reference, to a right heart. So what he needs to do is he takes away the frame of reference that I have by crushing it. And then he brings in circumstances which will bring the love of God into my frame of reference. That is a process. But the outcome is that I will have love in my frame of reference. In Psalm 119:111, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have bowed my heart to your statutes forever to the very end. Now, this tells us a lot about how God takes care of the frame of reference. Your testimonies. The word testimonies is eduth. And it's the testimonies of God. In other words, what God says about things. Doctrine. And it's also precepts. Precepts are authoritative rules of action. So put those two thoughts together, and what it's saying is governmental doctrine. The Word of God as a government in my heart comes because the Word of God is in my frame of reference. And since it's in my frame of reference, my volition responds to it and I decide according to the Word of God. Not because of a religious endeavor, but because it becomes the way that I think. People always choose on the basis of their thinking. If the Word of God is the foundation of your thinking, then you're going to choose on the basis of the Word of God. So he's saying here, governmental doctrine, in other words, making choices based on the Word of God, I have taken as a heritage. And a heritage is that which is received as a permanent possession, as an inheritance. An inheritance, however, is always the result of death. Therefore, this is talking about the one new man. What I receive as a result of death, an inheritance from God, is because of the cross, and in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, that inheritance is that I become one new man with Christ. That is my heritage. That's the permanent possession that I possess from God. I am one new man with Christ. That becomes the rejoicing. In other words, the word is sason, the joy and the gladness in my heart. Not because, again, I'm religious, not because I think, well, I should be glad, therefore I am glad. But because I have something different. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. That happens as I become the one new man at the cross with the Savior. I get His heart and His spirit. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And sometimes you look at this and you say, what do you mean, a heart of flesh? I don't get it. The hard heart that you had was the one that was damaged. A stony heart is not what we are designed for. That's what happened after the damage. It hardened. It could no longer function. If you liken it to a physical heart, if it's not flexible, which can happen when it becomes enlarged, that walls of the heart thicken, then it doesn't work well. Well, a hard heart is a damaged frame of reference. A heart of the flesh, it's not talking about your sin nature. The word is basar. It's talking about the freshness of heart that corresponds to the body you possess. That means that it is a heart that is suitable to the one new man. And so now we get the heart of Christ because we've been crucified with Him in Galatians 2:20. And now we have His life and having His life and living by His faith, we also have His thoughts and His heart. So God breaks the heart, and then He makes us one with Him, and by virtue of being one with Him, He doesn't fix the old heart. He doesn't try. He replaces it with a new heart. He doesn't try to cure the old one. He gets rid of it. And He gives you a new one. If He were to cure the new one, it wouldn't work. But He crushes it. He gets rid of it. And then He gives you His own heart. He gives you His own frame of reference. How does He do that? His testimonies. He causes doctrine to become the government of your frame of reference. The way that He causes doctrine to be the government of your frame of reference is by bringing you to the love of God and giving you the Word of God. And as you think with the love of God and your faith is energized by that love, as you have the Word of God in your thought life, you develop a new frame of reference which reflects who God is, and that is known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Once the heart is established in doctrine, it practices faith. It responds according to faith. And this comes because it can think with the Word of God. That becomes its frame of reference along with the love of God. Now you have a brand new heart. In Psalm 57:7, the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." The word fixed there does not mean repaired. The word there is kun, and it means prepared, set up, established, made firm and steadfast in doctrine. There is your progression. It's prepared, and it's always done by the Word of God. It's set up, it's established, and it's made firm and steadfast in doctrine. It doesn't stray from the Word of God. Its source is the Word of God. Its life is in the Word of God and the love of God. And now your heart is functional. Your frame of reference now is reliable because you trust in the Lord. Your frame of reference doesn't fail you. Even in challenges, even in difficulties, like Jeremiah 17:7 says, even in times of drought, you have a source, you have a provision, you have everything you need to be fruitful because the frame of reference is right. Don't underestimate the importance of your frame of reference. It is who you are. If Satan manages to damage your frame of reference, then he has damaged you. Don't underestimate the importance of a frame of reference. Don't underestimate the importance of having the Word of God establish your frame of reference. It becomes your life. In Proverbs 3:21, "My son, let them," that is to say wisdom, understanding, and doctrine, that's what's being talked about there in Proverbs 3, "let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then you shall walk in your way safely and your foot shall not stumble." Now, when it says that wisdom, understanding, and doctrine are going to be grace to your neck, what does that mean? Neck speaks of volition. What it's saying is that wisdom, understanding, and doctrine put you into a government of grace. And in the government of grace, you'll find safety. In the government of grace, you will not stumble. And even if you fall, you will not be cast down. Never will you have any sort of sin attached to you in the government of grace. What happens to Christians, and this is serious as far as their life goes, they'll enter into being a Christian with a damaged frame of reference. And because that frame of reference is damaged, they can never experience the life that God gives them. The best that they end up doing is a religious effort. And sometimes, because they're frustrated by that, they'll say, well, I just quit. And they'll think it doesn't work for them. When in truth, the problem all along, and they may not have realized it, is they never let the Word of God become their frame of reference. They never let God remove the old frame of reference, the old heart, to give them a new heart. You can't deal as a Christian with an old heart. You will find it unreliable, and you will never get to know God there. You cannot deal with an old heart. You have to receive a new heart. The more you struggle to preserve the old heart, the more you struggle to deal with the things that damaged your heart, whether they be religious thinking, or whether they be sin, or whether they be criticism you received, or whether they be condemnation, or whether they be any one of those things that can damage a heart, and there's a lot of them. You'll always struggle to deal with those things, when in reality, the blood of Christ has dealt with every single one of them. When the blood of Christ enters into your frame of reference through the Word of God, understanding, then you can release those things. You can let them slip out of your consciousness, because they are no longer there. Revelation 5:1 says that all sin is cleansed by the blood. That's not just your sin. That's all sin. That includes the things that have been done to you, as well as the things that you have done. The blood of Christ will release you from all of those things if you accept it by faith and allow it to remove the old from your conscience. The blood of Christ is what enables us to have a new frame of reference. Remember, whatever is not of faith is sin. So the blood of Christ deals with whatever is not of faith in Romans 14:23, and it removes it from time in Psalm 103:12. You don't have to remember things because they have been removed. As a matter of fact, if you try, God will call you a liar because He can see your past and it has nothing to do with sin. The blood of Christ has taken it away out of your past. That frame of reference will make your life. There's a lot of miserable Christians out there. Not because they don't love God, not because they're doing things wrong, not because they're actively in sin, but because their frame of reference is damaged and they don't know what to do with it. They don't even know about it. If your frame of reference is damaged, don't try to fix it. Don't tell yourself, I got to do this, that, and the other thing. Don't allow it to alter your thinking from the Word of God. Instead, reckon yourself dead. Believe what the Bible tells you, that you have in fact been crucified with Christ. Draw near to the love of God, draw near to the Word of God, and let those be the replaced frame of reference, because the Holy Spirit who is inside of you, and He's inside of you because you are the one new man with Christ, He is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit in John 16:13 guides you in all truth. He becomes your frame of reference. He becomes your heart. And when He imparts reality to you, accept it as reality. Reality works. The old, that doesn't work. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away and everything, including your frame of reference, is new. You get a new one. You don't fix the old one. You get a new one. In Isaiah 61:3, when Isaiah said He has anointed me to preach in verse 1, some of the reasons in verse 3 are to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, that is to say, the joy of the Lord, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, that their experience in life will be an experience of faith in Romans 3:22, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. God is not after old frames of reference damaging people's lives. God is after changing that person, not by making the old different, but by removing the old altogether and giving you the new. If you're mourning, God will give you a new frame of reference. If you have all kinds of damage in your life, God will give you a new frame of reference. If you're very heavy in your life, heavy laden, God will give you a new frame of reference. And the result is you're going to have the joy of the Lord, because that's where that new frame of reference will take you. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."